السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, a hadith of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which I discussed I think on a Jummah occasion or some part of it in one of the majlises, but it just came to mind that we should discuss this hadith again, because it seems that the whole world, there is only one thing that they are chasing after, and that is wealth. Everybody is chasing after wealth. And as a result, there's so much of corruption, so much of fitnas. So Shariat has not ignored wealth in the life of a mu'min and Muslim. It is a necessary thing, it is required. In fact, Hazrat Sufyan Sauri Rahmatullah Alayh, addressing the ulama, the learned scholars of his time, he said that you should have wealth with you in your possession. For if you don't have wealth, then the time will come when the rich will use you like handkerchief. He said they'll use you like handkerchief. In other words, then the imam will not be an imam, he will be a ghulam. That imam will then be a ghulam, because he will have to give fatwas to suit the people. His life will be controlled. Of course, there will be people who will have knowledge also and no wealth, but because of their taqwa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will keep them steadfast, and they will wave goodbye to those notes, but they will not wave goodbye to their deen and iman. But the dangers are there, and we are seeing it all around the world. We must not look at our small locality here and there. We must look at the general condition around the world. I have been many times to Pakistan, and during our student days also, we used to see how those ulama who were poor, and at the same time they did not have taqwa also of that level, then they were used by people for their own purposes. Fatwas were extracted from them on the strength of those notes or on the strength of that employment that they had given to them. Even in South Africa there was a time when they solely depended on bringing people from overseas to serve the institutions, and the same thing used to happen in many cases where the fear of deportation, that if you don't say this, if you don't do this, if you don't work like this, if you don't add on all these things, and if you don't subtract all these things, then we will deport you. Now because of that, that poor alim, what is he going to do? So wealth is not something that Shariat has ignored. For every dini activity you need wealth. For building of masjid you need wealth. For madrasas you need wealth. For the poor, needy, for the orphans, for the widows you need wealth. You must have something to give them something. In the same way, if a person has to make Hajj and Umrah, he requires wealth. If the person wants to undertake a journey for the propagation of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wealth is required. So wealth is a very good thing also. But provided it is in the hands of a good person. Ni'm al-mal, but the mal must be salih, lir-rajuli salih. The man must be also salih. Then in his hands the wealth is a good thing. So those people who go on to another extreme, saying that there's that every kind of wealth is dunya, that is also an exaggeration. That is a misunderstanding. Every kind of wealth is not dunya. Dunya is that wealth which distances you from Allah Ta'ala. that wealth which does not become a wasila for the akhirat, then that wealth is dunya. But that wealth which becomes a wasila for the akhirat, a means of getting progress in one's spiritual life, a means of gaining closeness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a means of getting the ni'mats of Jannat, then that wealth is a good wealth. So what is important is that the person must first have taqwa in his heart, then that person will use the wealth correctly. But unfortunately what is happening at present is that we haven't got that taqwa and we are acquiring more and more wealth. And as a result what is happening that because we don't have taqwa, the moment the wealth increases, our disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala increases. The moment the wealth increases, our furniture in the home increases, our good cars increase, our bank balances increase, everything increases, but then our going to the cinemas, theaters, casinos, discos, purchasing better and better television sets, buying more and more movies, indulging in more and more zina, visiting those places which only a person of plentiful of wealth can really go and visit. So that is what happens because there is no taqwa in the heart. This is the reason why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala many places in the Quran Sharif he condemns wealth, and Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam also condemned wealth in many hadiths. So that condemnation is not of the gold and silver, of the rands and dollars. That condemnation is of the action that emanates from a person who has that wealth. First of all, the acquisition of that wealth, if it is not halal, then it is already condemned. And if it is acquired halal, but after acquiring it halal also, the usage is not according to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam, then no matter how much the person claims that he acquired it halal, but it will still not be permissible, or it will still bring about destruction, because he acquired it halal but is not using it correctly. Look at the wastage that we incur in our weddings, in our walimas, and in so many other functions of ours. That grain of rice also was such a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we had to make qadar of it. We had to show great appreciation of even a grain of rice. I'm not talking about whole plates of rice that go into the dirt bins. I'm not talking about the wastage that takes place. Go to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, and go to the hotels. They are not even allowed to give that bread away to those beggars outside, because it will spread disease. So must put it in the dirt bin. Go and dump it away somewhere. I mean, there's so much of wastage. Then even if it is acquired halal, but when the usage is not correct, then it will still bring about the destruction. So wealth is something that Shariat has discussed at length. It is not a subject that is just left to the person's own whim and fancy to understand. You'll find Quranic verses upon verses, hadiths upon hadiths, discussing how wealth should be acquired and how it should be used. Every book of jurisprudence contains whole chapters on Kitabul Buyu, buying, selling, transacting, and all the rest of the details that go with it. Even in our Muasharat, it deals extensively with the usage of wealth. So wealth is a very good thing, but it is a double-edged sword. It can either cut the neck of the enemy, or it can become dangerous and harmful to the person who's got the sword himself. It can be a means of his own death. It's double-edged. So in this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is reported by Hazrat Abu Kabsha al-Anmari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, أَنَّهُ سَمِعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ ثلاث أقسم عليهن وأحدثكم حديثا فاحفظوه فأما الذي أقسم عليهن فإنه ما نقص مال عبد من صدقة ولا ظلم عبد مظلمة صبر عليها إلا زاده الله بها عزا ولا فتح عبد باب مسألة إلا فتح الله عليه باب فقر. نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, Hazrat Abu Kabsha says, I heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there are three things on which I take qasam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not need to take a qasam. His word, was final. There was no question of any lies. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even his own enemies called him as Sadiq al-Amin. So there was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying anything that was not truthful. But to lay great emphasis that if the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is taking qasam on this, then believe that it is true, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. You must not even have an iota of doubt. And that is what we mean by iman. That we have yaqeen these days on our sight. What our sight sees, then we have yaqeen that that is the truth. But we must consider ourselves as blind, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam as the person of sight. And the duty or the job of the person who is blind is to give his hand into the hand of a person who has got sight. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is receiving his knowledge direct from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is wahi. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. So this wahi which is coming from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there is no addition, no alteration, no change. And it's not that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala carries out some kind of experiments, and after having carried out that experiment, then he comes to some conclusion and informs us of a scientific conclusion which changes every day. One day it is something, next day it is something. First they said, people who have got cholesterol, they mustn't have eggs at all. Then we heard from that you can have 2 eggs a week. Then recently there was one article, 1 egg every day is okay too. So every day their research is changing. Or as first they said, that in the apple, there's great amount of vitamins. So you must eat the apple, but the vitamins are in the peel. So you must eat it with the peel. Then somebody said, no, the peel, because of the fertilizers and because of all the chemicals which are used and all that, so you must scrape the peel out and just eat the core of the apple. But then say, very soon you'll have a new fatwa or a new theory. And then they will say, no, throw the apple away, just eat the peel. So just now they'll make us throw the apple away and tell us eat the peel. So their research changes every day. But whatever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that 3 things on which I can take qasam. I take qasam on 3 things. That ma naqasa malu qabdin min sadaqah. When a person gives sadaqah, then his wealth does not decrease. Now this is where iman is built up. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying when a person gives sadaqah, his wealth does not decrease. No decrease takes place in his wealth if he gives sadaqah. Now human beings of the world, and every person who knows a little bit of multiplication, addition, he knows that the moment you take out and give away something, there's a decrease. Every calculator of the world will say that if a person has given away 10 rand from his 100 rand, then there's a decrease. It can't be an increase. It came away 90. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there is no decrease. So now what does that mean? That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will now give barakat in the remaining wealth. He'll give so much of barakat that the person, what he could have undertaken with plentiful, he'll be able to undertake with that which is left. And also that Allah Ta'ala will increase, there's another whom or which has been explained by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, and if you look at the Quran Sharif also, then the conclusion is that Allah Ta'ala increases it. For some people it increases 10 times and sometimes even more. But 10 times is a promise of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Alayha, on one occasion it was about time for iftar, and she had some visitors also, and there was just 2 bread. So just 2 bread left. Of course, we must not think of the bread, that small roti that we make. They used to have big size bread or whatever it was. But they thought that now there's few visitors, what are they going to eat? They're going to eat that little bread. There's nothing else that has come there. So it was just close to iftar time, and one beggar came. So that Rabia Basriya Rahmatullah Aliha, she said that give this 2 bread away to him. Now those visitors there, they said, no, today we'll have to drink water and make iftar. That little bread is gone too. But just a few minutes before iftar, somebody came with one whole tray full of bread. So she took it. Says somebody sent for you. So she took it. And when she counted it, then there was 18 in there. So she asked the person who brought the bread, that who sent it? Said so and so. For whom did he send it? Said for you. Says no, definitely it's not for me. Said but how do you know that it's not for you? Did he inform you that he's going to send so much? Said, no, definitely it's not for me. So then she told him that I had given two bread away as sadaqah. And it was close to iftar, I had visitors also, and this poor person came. So I gave him. And I got yaqeen in my Allah Ta'ala that his promise is the truth. So there should have been 20 here. And I see there's only 18. So he admitted, yes, I ate up the two. Now what kind of yaqeen that must be? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, some poor person starving, so he sent Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hussein, go and ask your mother, what's it at home? Give something to give to this poor person. So she said, there's only 6 dirhams left, which I have kept to purchase some flour for meals. Said, no, then in that case, tell her, give all 6. So he brought all the 6 dirhams and he gave it away to that person. After a little while, somebody was selling a camel. So he asked him, how much are you selling this camel for? He said, 140 dirhams. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, well, I'm purchasing it from you. Give me some time and I will pay you. So he agreed, the deal was closed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala bought the camel. He was taking the camel along and somebody offered him, said, are you selling the camel? He said, yes, I'm selling. He said, for how much? He said, for 200 dirhams. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sold the camel to that person for 200 dirhams. From there, he took 140 and paid for the camel, his debt, and he took 60 and sent it to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, that 6 which you sent brought 60 in return. Now this was their yaqeen. This is what we are always talking about, that we have to build up that iman, that yaqeen. But listening to these incidents again, we have to understand that there has to be that kind of yaqeen before we make amal on these. Otherwise just now everybody will go home and they say, give away everything. And then if next day nothing came back, they say, Molna was speaking a big lie. Nauzubillah. So that little yaqeen that was left to is gone. They want Maulana just to encourage the persons to make some namaz. So he told them, he said, he went to a village passing by, saw nobody making namaz here. So he said, you must make namaz, Allah Ta'ala will give you this and that. But akhirat doesn't appeal to them easily. So just to make the person start namaz, so that one dihati, one Bedouin kind of person asked him, what will we get? He said, one ox. So if you start namaz for 40 days, if you make it properly, you'll get one ox. So for 40 days he made namaz properly. After 40 days he went to look for the ox. In his yard there was no ox. So and then Maulana came again. He said, you were lying, because I went to look, there was no ox there. You said you'd get an ox. So he said, no, that was just to give you some encouragement. Where will you get an ox if you make namaz? He said, I knew you were lying. That's why I didn't make wuzu also. 40 days namaz I too made without wuzu, because I know it wasn't the truth. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ayat is haq, 100% haq and nothing but haq. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says is haq, it is haq and nothing but haq. But our iman is not of that level. And this we find from the hadiths again itself, that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he brought everything and gave it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam accepted it. He gave Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu dua and he sent him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he brought half. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not tell him that, oh Umar, your iman looks weak, that Hazrat Abu Bakr brought everything away and you only brought half. Does it state in any hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that your iman is weak? Na'uzu billahi min zalik. He accepted his half. Some people brought lesser than that, some brought more. Whatever they brought, but one person brought one gold coin, just one, And he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu, take this, and this is the only thing that I have. And when he said that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave it back to him. He said, you take it away and use it for your needs. So he said, no, I want to give it. He said, no. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it comes in the hadith that he threw it, that it nearly hurt him. Now why did he reject that? Because his hal was not exactly the hal of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu. When he said that this is the only thing that I have, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his basirat, he understood that this person, if he gives away that coin, then after that he will suffer some starvation or poverty or something, that he will not be able to bear it. So because of that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not accept. So we do not have that iman of that level. So we will appreciate those who gave it away and had that kind of yaqeen. But we will see our iman of what level it is. And then again, the Quran Sharif and hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much of discussion there is there on zakat, there's so much of masail there on inheritance, there's so much of masail there on sadaqat and so many other things. So if there was no question of savings being permissible, then what was the need to have ayat of verses of the Quran Sharif on zakat? Because zakat will only become wajib according to the Hanafi mazhab when the person has 3 ounces of gold or its equivalent in cash or merchandise for sale. So now the person must have that for zakat to become wajib or farz. So it shows that it is not haram if a person has some savings, if he keeps some, but his heart must not be attached to it. This is what is essential for the Muslim, that his heart must not be attached to any worldly thing. He can have mountains of gold, but his heart must not be attached. He must be ever ready to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala, to spend in good causes, and as it comes, he's giving also. But he is concerned that I must not leave this world in a state that my zakat is not paid, or my earning is not right, or my spending is not correct. So he is spending also, but with great care and caution. So to have wealth is not haram, but to have any kind of attachment with it, and unfortunately this is our situation and condition, that we are so attached to our homes, to our clothes, to our furniture, to our cars, that a little scratch also, if it comes on the furniture or on our car, then it seems as if somebody has knocked a big nail in our heart, or has put a bullet into our heart. But the greatest amount of dents will come on our iman, and on our yaqeen, and our faith, and on our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and on our taqwa, and on our zuhud, and our qanaat, and our sabr and our shukr. Now all these things, no matter how much of dents come on that, and no matter how much of smashing takes place, but it will cause us no concern. There won't be a frown on our foreheads also. We will see with our very eyes sins being committed in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our families, in our society. But it will not stir our hearts that we must make some effort to remove those ills. That we ourselves must stay away from that haram and stop and prevent others also from indulging in that haram. That we must make our namazes and make sure that everyone in our home is making namaz. Must make sure that everybody in our family and neighborhood, at least even if we cannot address them directly, we make a lot of dua for them. And over whomsoever we have a little bit of control and whom we can present Islam to, then we do so. So that is something that is the duty of every Muslim. Now in our own homes, if we are getting up for namaz, then our children are fast asleep. And most of them may be baligh. Of course, if they are married, then we don't have to stand on at the door and keep knocking until the person gets up. Or if the person is baligh, there are many different ways of saying it also. Like if you have got grown-up children, and we know that they may just blurt out something or make some statement which may cause problem for their iman, then it's, or there are visitors there, but those visitors are such that we can see that they're not namazis, and we're going to tell them that the time is up. I mean, come on, let's go for namaz, don't you know it's farz? Then they might just say something. It happens in walimas, in weddings, and that they are eating there, they're drinking, and we know that this person is not a namazi, but azan took place, time is up for namaz. So at such a time you will say, why time is up for namaz? I am going to make my namaz. I am going for the salat. I am going to the masjid. So now that is an automatic dawat to that person, that now you too must do the same. Because time is up. One Maulana Ajmal Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he was lecturing in one masjid. And there, in England, in America and all these places, the people, they come with the jeans, and even here in South Africa and all, the youth, you would get them in all kinds of libas and clothes. So most of those young boys there were with the tight jeans and tight-fitting clothes. So one of them, in that majlis, he said, Maulana, chust libas ke andar namaz padhna kaisa hai? To make namaz in tight-fitting clothes, what is it? Now we know what the fatwa is and what the masla is, that you should make your namaz in such a way that your satar does not show. But in any case, now this was an occasion, now if he had to tell them directly, then those youngsters will run away. Or they may say other things. They didn't have tarbiyah, they didn't have the background, they didn't have the mahol and the environment. So now look at the brilliant reply that he gave. He said, unko double sawab milega. He said, those who have come here with the very tight clothes, tight jeans, unko double sawab milega. So finish, everything was quiet. Then that man told Maulana, what kind of a fatwa you gave? He says, no, I said, unko double sawab milega. Isliye hai ki unko sajde mein jaate hue bahut takleef hogi. So they'll get double sawab. Isliye ki unko sajde mein jaate hue bahut takleef hogi. They'll have great difficulty in going in sajda and also sitting in qaida for tashahud. So they'll get double sawab. Then afterwards he explained to them, so that for everything there is an occasion. That was not the occasion to ask a question like that. And then those same youth afterwards, they said, Maulana, with your reply, although it was light-hearted, but the thing is that it brought us closer to Deen. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Alayh, Mufassir of Quran, said he was... One youngster came with his pants flowing below his ankles. Now one way was to tell him that your pants are below the ankles and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not look with rahmat at such people. And all the other hadiths which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given of severe warning to those people who keep their pants or clothes below the ankle. He could have related all that. But instead he called that young person and he told him, he said, my sight is not too good nowadays. So I want you to see, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that you should not have it below the ankles. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased with such people. And that part will go into Jahannam. He told him all the hadiths he quoted, but he said, that is why I want you to see if my pant is below my ankle. I will stand straight and you must look and tell me, because I don't want to go to Jahannam. So that youngster said, Hazrat, where can you be at fault? But inshallah, from now on, I will not put my pant below the ankle. So that is with hikmah, the person gave the dawah to that person. And he came away to Deen. So salat, we will be making in our home, but others in the home are asleep, fast asleep. Or the television, the movies, the haram indulgences of our children, it doesn't cause us any kind of concern. We think that we have done our duty. Whereas, in that ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day of Qiyamah, the person's wealth and his children will be of no good to him, except that person who comes with a sound heart. Now in that sound heart, the tafsirs that have been given of that, one of the tafsirs, Allazi yurshidu banihi ilal haqq, that who is that person who has got this qalb-e salim? Which person we can say is got qalb-e salim? So one of the many things is this, that yurshidu banihi ilal haqq, that he also guides his children towards haqq. He is making namaz, he wants to see the children also make namaz. He must be honest and truthful and see that the children are also honest and truthful. He must transact business halal and he must make sure that the children also transact business halal. It's not that he is conducting his business halal and when his son is doing business and is dealing with backdoor stuff and hijacking of containers and all those things, then he's unconcerned. In fact, he'll buy from his son too, because he's supplying him cheap. And I'm telling you the truth, this is what is happening. A very deendar father, when it comes to namaz, etc. But knowing fully well that son, these are his dandas, but he's still purchasing from him. So these are the type of things, and I was told this by a brother of his. He's not from Durban, from outside. So what I'm explaining to you is this, that just as we are concerned that we have come, for example, to this majlis, we want to make islah for our nafs, we want to carry out the ahkam of Allah Ta'ala in our lives, we want to convey it to others. So in the same way, we must desire it for others also, that they too must come on haqq. At one of the brothers' places, we were discussing some issue, and one of the points that came to with Allah Ta'ala's fazal to mind, because when it comes to these disputes and family arguments and husband and wife problems, so now this husband was going on and on. One of the incidents I was relating there, that one husband every time is complaining, my wife is doing this, my wife is doing that, and that's why he's always angry with his wife, and he's always having argument with her, and he's always at loggerheads with his wife. So I told him that I agree with you that there are many, many weaknesses and shortcomings in many women, and she may be also at fault on many occasions, I don't deny that. But I want to ask you that what is the solution to that problem? If you think that the solution is that I must demand my right, I am the husband and this is my right, and we're not talking about namaz, roza, zakat, hajj that the person is getting angry over. He's getting angry over worldly things. Clothes are not ironed, food is not on time, this is not right, that is not right. These type of things. So I said, alright, what is the solution? Now if you say, I'm the husband and she must listen to me and she mustn't do this and mustn't do that, and it's not working out, she's not listening to you, so what is going to happen is that this argument will flare up, it will increase, and then because of your anger, now if she is at fault, one is that she's not at fault, but just for argument's sake, we accept what you are saying, that she is at fault. So if she is at fault, and you are now very angry, you say, I'm very angry, and she's not fulfilling my rights, and therefore you are cursing her. So now when you are going to curse her, then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come on her. Isn't that what is going to happen? If you are going to curse, and she is definitely at fault, so then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come on her. Now when Allah Ta'ala's azab comes on her, who is going to be affected? Only she. If she meets up with an accident and she breaks a leg, or she cracks a skull, or she slips and falls, or she was cooking and the fire burnt her hand, as an azab of Allah Ta'ala. One is accidents take place as a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants to give some sawab or give shahadat. I'm not talking about that. Here I'm talking about the person is cursing because he says, my wife hasn't been able to do this or do that, and I'm very angry and I'm very upset, she's not fulfilling my right. So now if Allah Ta'ala's azab comes, then you will suffer with her. You will suffer with her. So why not overlook, forgive, forget, try and patch up, and just think that how many ahkam of Allah Ta'ala I am breaking in my life. If Allah Ta'ala had to ask me every day, what did you do? And how much of my ahkam did you fulfill? And how much of my rights and my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's rights you fulfilled? And therefore I must punish you for your shortcomings. If Allah Ta'ala has to do that, what will happen to us? So just as Allah Ta'ala is overlooking and forgiving us in spite of all our weakness, but here the benefit is for you, and the other way around is the same, that if it had been your wife who had been telling me that, then I will tell the wife the same thing. That if you are going to keep cursing your husband and is this and is that and is that, find a solution. If it doesn't come right, then Shariat itself says then part nicely. Give one talaq and all the details that go with it. But don't go on fighting and fighting, because now you're going to curse the husband. Now Allah Ta'ala's azab came on him because he was unjust, he was not fair, and he was causing you harm and takleef. So now you cursed him. Now on due to that curse, now what happened is that he meets up with an accident, or he lands himself in jail, or he broke his hand, or somebody attacked him. Now whatever is going to happen to him, now you are again going to suffer, because now you are the one who will have to sit at his bedside and again nurse him. So therefore it is better that you forgive, he forgives, and patch up and lead a happy life. And if it just doesn't work out, then part nicely. Shariat says that you must part nicely. And in fact, this was the reason why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I mean, who could have been more accommodating and who could have been more comforting than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? And who could have desired more good for anyone than Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But Hazrat Zainab's nikah to Hazrat Zaid, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself told Hazrat Zaid he must marry Hazrat Zainab. But it didn't work out. It didn't work out, so they parted. If it had been one of us, we would have said that Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he recommended, he suggested, and yet the marriage didn't work out. Whose du'as could have been more greater than the du'a of Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the marriage of Hazrat Zainab? But then look what Allah Ta'ala gave her in return after that, that she got married to Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Allah Ta'ala's foreknowledge we have no knowledge of. So what we were discussing was, what we were talking about was sadaqah, I think. That sadaqah does not decrease your wealth. Now that is what I gave you, that example of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Rabia Basriya. So sadaqah is a thing which is, read Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's Fazail al-Sadaqat, and look at the number of hadiths that he have compiled there. The virtues and the benefits of sadaqah is unlimited. However, one of the greatest benefits for our times is this, that with the giving of sadaqah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removes balas, problems, difficulties. Sometimes some bala is coming and the person gives sadaqah and it goes away. So all those who complain these days of bad dreams and this and that and all, they take out some sadaqah. And that sadaqah also does not mean that the person has to buy one animal and slaughter it and distribute the meat. If a poor person is given some groceries or some clothing or is given some rent, light, water, bill is paid, whatever it is, anything that will benefit, even creatures and animals, if they benefit from some deed of ours, that is sadaqah. And if the person doesn't have anything, then even if the person is showing a person the road, that is also sadaqah. For everything, for every joint of the body, there is sadaqah. The person reads Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, it is sadaqah. But when we are talking about monetary sadaqah, then this is what it means, that the person, according to the need of the person, he gives something. And then makes dua that, Ya Allah, with the barakat of this sadaqah, remove this difficulty of mine, this problem of mine. And it is the experience of people throughout the ages that sadaqah has removed the bala. So greed must not come and settle in our hearts. That the person is greedy, that he just wants to accumulate and increase and increase and increase. He just cannot part with any kind of wealth. And that is the most difficult thing on his heart, to give away from his wealth. There are some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them plentiful. They will make namaz too and tahajjud too and ishraq too and chash too and everything. But if they have to give a few rands towards the masjid, light water, or they have to give a few rands towards some poor and needy or some other deserving case, then that they find it very, very difficult. Like that they will spend on unnecessary things. But to give sadaqah becomes a burden on their hearts. Whereas that sadaqah will bring them closer to Allah Ta'ala. It will wipe away their sins. Because greed has got no limit to it. The person will never be satisfied. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَوْ كَانَ لِبْنِ آدَمْ وَادِيَانَ مِنْ زَهَبٍ لَبْتَقَى صَالِسًا. Even if he has two valley full of gold, he will search for the third one. And the only thing that will fill his stomach will be the turab of the qabr. That's the only thing that will fill his belly. Otherwise this hawa and hirs, there is no end to it. Therefore we say, hawa wa hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein duba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Because once this hawa and hirs comes into us, then we will have no time for anything else except the accumulation of dunya and the fulfillment of our passions and desires. In the Bani Israel time, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, we all know his mu'jizat, that he used to say, Qum bi iznillah, and the dead person will rise. He used to pass his hand over the eyes of a blind person and the blind person will see. Leprosy, he will pass his hand, the person, leprosy will go away. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, because he came at a time when science of medicine at that time, according to that time, was at its height. So Allah Ta'ala also gave him mu'jizat of that kind, so that they can't match it. So one person came to him and said, Hazrat, I want to stay in your sohbat, as we say, in your company. So he was going on a journey. He said, all right, you can come with me. So they stopped on the shore of some river, and there their time came for meals. So he was a new person. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had three bread, so they ate two, and he said, leave this third one now for tomorrow morning. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went to make wuzu on the riverside, and when he came back, the third one was gone. So he asked him, say, where is the third one? So he said, I don't know. So who had the third one? He said, I don't know. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, all right, then come. We continue with the journey. As they were going along, he saw one buck. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam beckoned to the buck, come here. Allah Ta'ala made it such that the buck came near him. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam slaughtered it. It was, they roasted the meat, what we call braai nowadays. And then, after eating, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam addressing the bones, Qum bi iznillah. So it turned into a buck again and it ran away. So he said, I ask you now in the name of he who gave life to this buck again, tell me the truth, who read that bread? So he said, I don't know. He said, all right, come, let's go. He proceeded further, they came across a river that they had to cross. Normally they required a boat to cross that huge river. But Isa alayhi salatu wasalam held his hand and took him across. And then he said, now in the name of he who took us across, I ask you who had that bread? He said, I don't know. Then he went further, then he took some sand. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam took some sand and made it into a small heap. And then he said, turn into gold in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So it turned into gold. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam made it into three pieces. He made it into three pieces. And he told him, one for you, one for me, and one for the person who ate the third one. So he said, no, I am the one that ate the third one. So he said, no, the third one also I ate. So he said, well, then you can keep all three pieces of gold. And he left him and went away. When he went away, I read in Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi Zahya'ul Ulum, this incident is there. It's also in his Kimya'i Sa'adat and many other kitabs. Now when he went away, two people came and they tried to rob him of the gold. Now he was taking the gold home. So two people came and they tried to rob him. When they tried to rob him, he said, look, what is the sense of robbing me? And I will give you all, let us share it out. You take one, I take one, and the third person take one. So he gave each one. So they agreed. They said, all right. Then he said, now let's send somebody. He can go and buy some bread, some meat, some fruits and bring it and we all can have a good meal. So the one took the one piece and went to buy the food. These two planned that when he comes, let us kill him so we can take all three. Whatever is here, we can take it away. In the meantime, the one who went to buy the fruit and meat, he planned that I'd rather put some poison in this food so that when I get there, I will give it to them, those two will die, I can take all the gold away. So when he came, they killed him first, and then when they ate the meat and the bread, then they also went. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was returning, he saw the dead, three people dead there. He said, this is the natija, this is the consequence, and this is the end result of hirs. That's the end result of hirs. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must save us from this hirs. It is a very dangerous trait. So sadaqah is the only thing that will reduce that greed. Because when the person is giving now, and again when he is giving, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also give. That if there is a room and there's window only on one side, then the air will come in and it will not go out. But if you have windows on both sides, then the breeze will come in from there and it will go out from there and it will keep coming and going out, so you'll have circulation all the time. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got these things for our benefit. I thought we will discuss this whole Hadith Sharif today, but inshallah next week we'll continue. But at this stage, remember this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took a qasam on this. So we should not only look at what our gaze and our sight sees, because we will always see an increase. When haram is coming, we will see an increase. When the person is taking interest, then he will see an increase. Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Rahmatullah alayhi in one bayan, he said, insan ki nazar aur khuda ki khabar. Insan ki nazar ye dekhti hai ke sood se maal badhta hai aur sadaqat se maal ghatta hai. Now that's insan ki nazar. But Khuda ki khabar is telling you that no, when you're going to take interest, your wealth will decrease. Allah Ta'ala will create such conditions that finally He will make that person a pauper. And if the azab doesn't come here, then in the akhirat there is. But mostly, even in this world, after a period of time, those people, everything is wiped out. It's like the bubble that bursts suddenly. Or the person's body is blowing up. When it's blowing up because of pus and matter and all filling up inside and water. So we see the body of the person blowing, but that's not health. That person's body which is blown in that manner is not health. Because if it bursts, then that will be the end of his life. And he's sick, he's very sick, that person. The body has just blown because of that. He requires treatment. And on the other hand, there's a pahlawan, there's a very powerful wrestler. Now he's eating 1 dozen chicken and 10 dozen eggs and so much of meat. And sometimes you read the menu and their list of what they eat, you wonder whether it's a hathi that's eating or a human being that's eating. But the fact is that because he's building up his body, so now that is health. So if Allah Ta'ala gives halal and it increases, then that is healthy. But if it is haram and it's an increase, then always remember that example of mine. That what comes in a haram way, it is filth, it is like pork, it is like pigs. And I give this example many times, and alhamdulillah, many people have said it has benefited them. That even if 1 rand or a 1 million rand or 10 billion rands or $10 billion the person gets, but if it is coming through the casino, it's coming through some gambling den, or it's coming through interest taking in, then the person must believe that as a Muslim, it is as if somebody has given him a gift of 1 billion pigs. Now the person won't like to see one pig in his yard. Where is he going to see 1 billion pigs or 1 million pigs? So this lotto thing, which is now running into 20 million, 40 million, 30 million, just make la hawl over it, make istighfar over it, and don't even let that thought come in our mind that we are missing out on something, we're missing out on something. And if somebody gets it, then don't say how fortunate. Now, this is another weakness of our women folk and ourselves too. We say, how lucky. Straight away, how lucky. He became a millionaire, he became a billionaire. We must say how unfortunate this person is. Especially when we're talking about Muslims. We must say how unfortunate this person is. That he got so much of haram. And now for him to part with that is going to be extremely difficult. Many people, they say that just for the fun of it, we are putting 10 rands or 5 rands. But let him put for the fun of it, but if he gets 1 million after that, then see what happens. Does he part with it? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to see us lead a life of happiness, of purity, of taharat of ourselves, taharat of our clothes, taharat of our bodies, taharat of our souls. Look at in namaz, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put all everything. That there must be taharat and purity of your clothes, taharat and purity of your body, taharat and purity of that place on which you make namaz. Now when there's so much of taharat required, then how much of taharat must be required of our hearts when we're standing before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his heart was washed in the water of Zamzam, and then it was put back in before he was taken for Mi'raj. Allah Ta'ala made it easy for us that you make wuzu, make ghusl, wuzu, and come and make your namaz. That's your taharat. And then ask Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, just as you had Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart washed by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and put back filled with iman and hikmah, then oh Allah, we don't have that kind of an opportunity to get Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to remove our hearts. So oh Allah, we are sincerely repenting of all our sins. All our sins which we have committed, O Allah, we are ashamed of it. Hum nadim hai, hum sharminda hai, hum gunegar hai, hum napak hai, hum nalayak hai, hum mujrim hai. O Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Purify our hearts. With your hukam, purify it. Our hearts are between your two fingers. You can turn it in whichever direction you want. O Allah, we have made wuzu and we got our ghusl, and that's about all that we can do. But inside now this purification, Ya Allah, we are asking you to purify our hearts. When we are going to keep asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in that manner, then one day Allah Ta'ala will also open the door for us. Jo na kaam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, pahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. Jo na kaam hota rahe umr bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashik na chode. ये रिश्ता मोहब्बत का कायम ही रखे, जो 100 बार टूटे तो 100 बार जोड़े। कीप दिस कनेक्शन विद अल्लाह तबारक व तआला, बी एन आशिक ऑफ अल्लाह एंड रसूल सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। मे अल्लाह तबारक व तआला गिव मी ऑल्सो दैट काइंड ऑफ अ हार्ट विच ही गिव्स टू हिज औलिया सिद्दीकीन। When we get that kind of a heart, then our life in this world and the life in the akhirah, the life in the qabr, everything is made. Zahiri amal are essential. We need the zahiri amal. The zahir of the namaz is also essential. We can't say that I will just sit and I've got a purified heart and I'm going to just think of Allah Ta'ala and I'm making muraqabah all the time. That is not sufficient. You'll have to have the zahir of that namaz also. The zahir of the roza is also essential. The zahir of everything is also essential. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at the batin. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila aqwalikum wala ki yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah ta'ala does not look at your faces, your features, your bodies, your wealth and all the other things. He looks at your qulub and your a'mal. But don't lose hope. There's no such thing as despairing of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Many people say, I'm trying and I'm failing. Just this morning I was replying to a letter where the lady says that she made a lot of dua for her son who's gone disobedient and is doing this and doing that, whatever it is, or the husband's problems and all that. And now she's so tired, she said that she's made up her mind that what's the sense of making dua and salat and zikr and tilawat because Allah Ta'ala is not answering. Somebody wrote to me this morning, I was replying. I said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when that one dua that you are making for the change of the condition of the husband or son or whatever it may be, now is that the only ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the world? All the ni'mats that Allah ta'ala has blessed you with, your sight, your hearing, your speech, your heart, liver and lungs functioning, roof and shelter, transport, gold, silver and clothing and everything. Who has blessed you with all that? Have you got some other Allah that you're going to turn towards if you get angry with Allah? And that is the reason why your dua is not being accepted. Because you have got the doubt and hesitation, or that you are demanding that, oh my Allah, if you don't accept my duas and you don't listen to what I am asking and begging of you, then I won't make your namaz. Nauzubillah min zalik. Can you imagine what are the consequences of such statements? So we don't even know what kind of statements we are making. Our ignorance of Islam is to such an extent that the statements also which we are making are of kufr. And when they make a kufr statement, the marriage breaks. And if they don't make a nikah, then the children that are born of such marriages are illegitimate. Now can you see where it goes, how far it is going? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all ikhlas in our amal. Allah ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to Him and to make the effort to see to it that our children, our family and everybody comes onto deen and on sirat mustaqim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. اے اللہ ہم شرمندہ ہے, ہم گنہگار ہے, ہم سیاہکار ہے, ہم خطاکار ہے, ہم مجرم ہے, سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے. میرے اللہ اگر تو نے معاف نہیں کیا تو تو بتا کہ ہم گندے جائے کہاں. او اللہ, if you are not going to forgive us, which are the doors for us that we can tap, which are the home is there for us that we can beg. یا اللہ, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. O Allah, bless us with iman and yaqeen. Ya Allah, bless us with your ma'rifat, bless us with your qurb, bless us with your muhabbat, bless us with the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bless us with your itaat and the itaat of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, bless us with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction. with rizqa halal. Allah, let us live in this world lives which are pleasing to you and your Rasul's lives. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Ya Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is suffering everywhere in the world. Ya Allah, give the ummah once again the position of dignity and honor. Ya Allah, bring everyone back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, those who have got no iman, bless them with iman and Islam. Those who have got iman, give them strength in their iman. Give them strength in their iman and yaqeen. Ay Allah, jo bimar hai unko shifa ata farma. Jo qarzdar muhtaj hai unki tangdastiyon ko dur farma. Jo pareshan hal hai unki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Ay Allah, all the works of deen which are taking place, accept it. Ya Allah, deen ke tamam kamo ko qubool farma. Jitne shobay hai sab ko zinda farma. Allah, da'wat tabligh ki mehnat ko qubool farma. Madaris, masajid, khanqahon ki mehnat qubool farma. Allah, hum sab ko nek aur ek bana de. Allah, sab ko Allah wala bana de. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allah, all the goodness that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness, our parents with that goodness, and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection. Oh Allah, protect us and protect the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.